that down, working with his hands to give to him. I've got this gentleman. He's 96 years old. He is the nicest guy you ever met in your life. I've been going to that church 25, 30 years of my life. He's way up in years. Ain't got an ounce of fat on his body. And he works every day. And he'd rather razz me better than Noble Crowley. Boy, I'd love to meet his mama. One of these days, I'd love to ask her, why did you name him Noble? You'll get that in a minute. This old gentleman, bless his heart, and I don't mean that in a disrespectful manner. He's the nicest guy that you ever met. And he's got big old calluses on his hands. Big old calluses. Big old thick calluses. In fact, they bought him a chainsaw when he was 92. This is a big joke between me and him. I'll come in and he'll get me by the hand like this and he'll say, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. You ain't got a callus on your hand. Him, 96 years old, work every day. Don't y'all remember your grandparents or moms or dads' hands being calloused? From working, digging old post holes and grubbing? Some of y'all don't have a clue what I said, and I said grubbing. My wife told me the other day I need to learn some new illustrations. The book of Exodus, please. I won't keep you long. That's what Elizabeth Taylor told her 10th husband. The book of Exodus, please, chapter 3. Now read with me. Now, if you don't know by now that I care about you people, and we go back a long way, and I mean that from my heart, I do. Exodus chapter 3, verse 1. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert, and he came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush, and he said, Moses, Moses, and he said, here I am. He said, draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses, he hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. Look in verse 7. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt. I've heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. Notice carefully that the Bible says, he says, for I know their sorrows. Lord Jesus, we love you tonight and thank you for safeguarding the highways. Lord, I pray tonight, would you, Lord, help me for a little while to be a blessing, Lord, to these folks here at Madisonville. And then, Lord, thank you for these men that have come to give of themselves. And Lord, I know and realize and understand that, God, there's no wasted motion that which you do. Lord, I believe there's a reason and a purpose. And so help us to be a light in this darkened corner. Lord, help us to be a vessel that you can be used. And then, Lord, tonight I pray for my children and my family and my grandkids. Lord, I pray for Danny tonight, Lord, as he lays there in the hospital. Lord, I pray for his family. And oh, God, ever God-called preacher and ever missionary. Lord, I think about poor old pastors and some of the things that they're going through with. Brother Hall. Oh, God, please be near him and help him, encourage him. Even now, may he realize that, Lord, someone can touch heaven for him. Help us tonight, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. In the book of Exodus, in Exodus chapter 3, Moses, this great man of God, you got Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Turn back to chapter 2 with me and look in verse 21. I want you to look in chapter 2 and look in verse 21. And Moses was content. Notice that little word, content. Moses had killed an Egyptian. Say amen. Moses had killed an Egyptian and he had run to the backside of the desert. And the Bible says that he was there, what? He was content. That's where we sort of settled in anymore. We just settled in. My preacher and I and Brother Junior and a few of us men, we're fighting a war in Pulaski County. And we live in that lake country, Lake Cumberland. And so we have all of these people that come down from Ohio and Indiana and you name it. They come there. They go to the lakes. Well, we got all this tourism, and so everybody's trying to base all of our economy upon tourism. So now then, they're bringing their value system with them, and we're trying our best to fight liquor. I mean, we're trying our best to fight it. But this thing about, we got 122 Baptist churches in our county. Baptist churches. At our meetings, Brother Smith, have we had more than 10 or 11 churches represented out of 122 Baptist churches? So people today, they're full of apathy and content. They come in, they sit down, they get up, and they go home, and they have a fall revival, a revival in the spring, and then they have a mission conference, and nothing ever changes. They just go through the same old thing, and they're content. May God help us to get out of this apathy that we're in.
Amen.
What do you mean, Brother Prince? Listen, I want to show you this. Go back and look in your Bible. To live on the backside of the desert, it plainly says that he was content. He was there in a place of failure. He had killed a man. You say, Brother Sisson, we're living in a time, and boy, I appreciate what Brother Junior was saying a moment ago. There's a day in my life, as I was at the crossroads of my life, boy, I'm glad the Holy Ghost of God knocked at my heart's door and saved a wretch like me. Amen. So somebody said the other day, I was preaching down in Tennessee, and they said he's never changed all the years that I've known him. I said, well, I hope I have changed. Come on, don't look at me like that. Don't y'all think we ought to mature a little bit more in the Lord?
Yep.
Let's go back and let me show you this right quick. Look in your Bible. This ordinary, insufficient, a man by the name of Moses is on the backside of a desert, and then God comes to him. Look back in chapter 3. Look in verse 2. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire. Now you can't argue with me. You can't argue. You can't fuss with me. The flame of fire got inside of this man by the name of Moses and changed him. So you see, the whole thing lays on this fire. But watch it. The flame of fire out of the midst of the bush, he looked and behold, the bush burned with fire. And the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside this dry, dusty, desert bush out there. Hey, and guess what? It says it was a flame of fire. Last time when we was in Egypt, Brother Junior Sewell and I, we rode Arabian Stallions. We rode it out in the desert. This man, we paid him. Everything over there is $1. We rode out as far with these Arabian Stallions as you could ride in that desert. The sun, honestly, it looked like a big ball of fire. And we was riding them horses right into the midst of that. Out in the middle of the desert. When we turned around and came back, they told us that it was 115 degrees in that desert. 115 degrees. Here was Moses on the backside of a desert, this dry, dusty bush, and guess what? The Bible says it was a flame of fire. Let me go. Now, I don't believe this modernistic junk. They said, well, it's probably a red bush and the sun shone on it and it got a glare off from it.
No,
don't you believe that stuff. Let me show you what the Bible is going about. This dry, dusty bush. And I find the Bible says that Moses said, I saw it. He turned aside to see it. Our problem is we don't ever turn aside. We're so busy, amen, Brother Sisson, pedal to the metal. My doctor the other day examined me, and Miss Kathy, you'll love this. He said, why is your blood pressure so high? I said, I'm not the doctor. He said, well, why? What are you stressed about? I said, no more than usual. Come on, perk up a little. Run here, run there. You know what I'm talking about. Get up of a morning, run as hard as you could, go to the bed of night. I'm saying tonight, listen to me, I'm saying we are the pedals to the metal, and our problem, we don't ever turn aside. Hey, there's times in our life that I believe we need to turn aside, get alone with God, get in a good Bible-believing church, amen, hear the preaching of the Word of God, fellowship, enjoy each other, amen. I believe that. Man, I show you why I'm a happy camper. Let me show you why. Now, go back, look in your Bible, in Exodus chapter 3. Now, I want you to write this down for me. You ready? Write it down for me. Moses here was in school. This man, the Bible says he was content, but he's on the backside of a desert. Amen. But God's fixing to use a man that had just killed a man. Think about that for a moment. Man, that's pitiful. And he buried him in the sand. I believe a person's really genuinely saved. Really genuinely saved. I believe their passions underneath the blood. Amen. Thank God. I believe God writes your name down the Lamb's Book of Life. Hebrews 10, verse 17. Their sin and iniquity will I remember no more. Moses in school, write it down for the second thing. Moses here, he's in Egypt, but he learned to be this somebody. He's under Pharaoh's daughter. The third thing, Moses, 40 years on the backside of a desert, just a nobody, 40 years, and he's content to dwell there. Wait till I hit this other thing. Moses, for 40 years now, he's making a somebody out of a nobody. God's taken him, And he's going to do what? Lead the children of Israel out of the Egyptian bondage. I want you to write this somewhere on the side of your Bible. Number one, the location on the backside of a desert. If I know anything, the shepherds, I mean to Egyptians, were an abomination. But God reached down and chose Moses, amen. And Moses, he said, Lord, I can't speak. But cannot God gave him Aaron, and you never find him ever shutting up. Amen. Please listen to me just a moment. Sometimes in our life, it's not always sweet. Sometimes things in our life go south. I've had people walk up to me sometimes, and when my boy got killed, I never forget Miss Sharon. I never forget some of you people coming to my home when my young boy, my baby boy, Nathan, got killed. Did you know I'd be 9 years? 9 years. Can you believe that? But I mean, when my baby boy got killed, it devastated me. I can't explain it to you. A lot of people say, I've never gotten over it. Well, I don't expect to ever get over it. How do you think? How do you like that? Sometimes I go over to his grave and I sit down and I think about my boy would be 30 years of age. I wonder would he have been married. I wonder if I'd have had grandkids by him. But it devastated me. It pulled the rug out from me. Sometimes life ain't always good to you. I thought about this. I thought about how in our life sometimes death comes and valleys come in our life. The same way Moses, I mean for 40 years God took it on the backside of a desert, amen. I got a friend of mine call me, I don't know what today is, Sunday. And his brother was in a hydraulic in one of these buckets trimming trees. And for whatever reason, he hit one of the hydraulic buttons and the thing done this and done that and throwed him out. He's in Vanderbilt Hospital. He's got 26 broken bones and he's got an induced coma. And they don't think he's going to live. But he's only 51 years old. Sometimes life can be real short. Yes, sir. I'm saying here was Moses on the backside of the desert. So listen, there come that vision of the bush. But then God, the Bible says Moses visited that bush. And the third thing, there came a voice out of the bush. I'd turn aside too if I heard a voice come out of a bush. Boy, I wish I had me a mirror. Mr. South Africa, if you don't pick up. I like that boy. I'm going to go to South Africa with him. But let me show you this. Look here, I'm talking about the location of the bush. Now, the second thing, write it down for me and I'll preach to you in a minute. This lingering, how do you know that? Look in your mouth. I will now turn aside. What do you mean, brother, sister? Have you ever in your life, I've never heard this in all my many years, I've never heard a man when he was dying saying, I wished I had more time for my job. Have y'all ever heard that? Anybody here at all? I've never heard that. Where are you at, Brother Lawrence? Have you ever heard that when somebody was dying? Boy, I wished I had more time to build my business. I wished I had more time for my job. No. In fact, in my 44 years, here's what I've heard. Boy, I wished I'd have done things different in my life. I've heard that a million times. What I mean is this, watch it. So he turned aside, that's what the Bible says. Look at your Bible. And don't you watch? And like, no time, in our day and time, we don't have time to study. We don't have time to meditate. We don't have time to worship anymore. We don't have time to even fellowship anymore. Amen, sister. Preacher told me the other day, and I don't have no reason to doubt him. We got a place, most of you know that I live, especially Brother Lawrence used to make a big joke out of this. I lived in Nancy, Kentucky. And everybody knows my wife's name is Mary. When I get done with the meeting, they say he's going home to Nancy. You get that in a minute. They started this junk on me. But if you go to Nancy after where our camp's at, go out 196, follow that road. It takes you a place called Fallbush. Now, some of y'all probably don't know where this is at, but it's a place called Fallbush. And it's got several Baptist churches back there, about 20-some miles out that road. Can you believe they've already done away with their Sunday night services? They've already done away with their Wednesday night services. What do you mean, Brother Sisson? People today, I'm talking about our churches are filled with people that they don't have time to ever turn aside. They don't have ever time for their children. They don't have time to ever just get to know their kids or to play with their kids or get down in the floor and wrestle with them, amen. My preacher the other day, me and him was at Somerset Baptist Temple. And so we're sort of trying to rally the troops, you know, get all everybody stirred up. And I was preaching on being stirred up. And so I said, Brother Broughton, I said, me and you probably wind up in jail. He said, I hope they don't put me and you in the same cell together. Ain't that pitiful? That's my own preacher. But I'm saying tonight, nobody has time to start turn aside unless some crisis comes in his life. Unless a brother's dying, or a sister's dying, or a mom's dying, or a child's got a fever of 102, 103, and all of a sudden, they'll turn aside. I told my wife, this is March, I believe. I've had three funerals. I had a woman, 51 years old. I want you to listen to this. She said she got up, went in and put the coffee on, and said her husband come through, and said she had her back turned to him, and she said, "Would you massage my neck?" She said, "I have got the awfulest headache that I've ever had in my life." And he was massaging her neck. And he said, "Preacher, when I turned to look at my wife's eyes, her eyes was already glazed over. She died." I mean, this woman that I'm telling you, we had her funeral. Brother Sisson, sometimes just like that. But I'm saying, when I went to that hospital, and I went to that, Brother Ron Lawrence knows what I'm talking about. Every emergency room has got a little old room about a 10 by 12 that it stays locked. And some, when they call you to that emergency room, and that door is locked, and you have to knock on the door, and the chaplain opens the door, and everybody's crying. I said, "Oh, thank God, hallelujah. One day, that room will be done away with, amen." Yeah. Thank God, I won't never have to go there again. Last couple of months, it's just broken my heart. Had one woman's funeral. She was 58 years old, I believe. One woman, 50, in her early 50s. What I'm saying is, listen to me, nobody has time to turn aside until one day the doctor says cancer. My doctor friend, God bless his heart, he's been down here. You ought to talk to Dr. Dixon. He's an excellent medical doctor, even though he's always practicing. His own wife said they never get it right. They always practice on you. Boy, y'all are slow down here. Practicing physicians. Barry loves God. Barry just loves the Lord. I wish God would speak to Brother Lawrence sometime and just let him teach a class. I wish y'all just hear Dr. Dixon teach. But my point ain't he good, Brother Junior. Ain't he good? Turn that good ear to me, Junior. Here we go. You got to make sure that ear's... That's called selective hearing. If he don't want to hear you, he just turns you off. But let me tell you what I talked... Me and Dr. Dixon was talking about cancer. He said, one of the worst things in my life is to watch a person come into my office or come into the examining room, and then they get the blood work back and have to go tell them they've got cancer. And he said, all of a sudden, he said, their whole life revolutionized, just turns around just like that. And what they think is important, are y'all listening to me? It's not as important as they think it is, amen, when all of a sudden your health's gone. Good preaching, Melvin. I'm saying most of us won't turn aside till some disaster happens to our life. Third thing, right quick, write it down for me. The lessons that you and I can learn. Look back in Exodus chapter 3. I want to show you this now. Well, come on, look at your Bible. Have you ever thought about it? Have you ever just put it in your mind? I will now turn aside and I'll see this great sight. Why the bush is not burnt. When the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, would you underscore that in your Bible? When the Lord seen that he turned aside, amen. Have you ever just thought about the lessons that you can learn from Moses? Boy, you wait till I show you the last one. I want you to listen to this. That lessons we can learn about it. I thought about how Moses was on holy ground. God said, "Pull your shoes off, Moses. Anymore, nothing's holy anymore." I never seen so many people. Brother Bob is the deacon at his church. He's just telling me they put a sign up that they only use the King James Bible. I say, amen, thank God. But why should we have to do that? There's an all-out assault. Are y'all listening to me? There's a war raging, amen. Yeah. And most people won't get in the midst of the war. The battle's raging. They won't even turn aside to see that there's a... by the way, the preacher's not your enemy. Your parents is not your enemy. Amen, Brother Sisson. Right. I'm saying, if you're looking about what kind of lessons can we learn from it? He said, "Pull your shoes off, Moses, you're on holy ground." How about the Lord's Day? That's not nothing important to people anymore. How about the Word of God? That's not important to people anymore. I'm talking about the lessons that we can learn from things. See, I believe this. I'm sorry if this busts your bubble. I believe after a person really gets saved, I believe there ought to come sanctification in their life. Set apart. Amen, Sisson. Would y'all let Brother Lawrence, where are you at? I can see you, really. I'm not like Brother West. Anybody knows me, Brother Noble, I'll know that I don't hurt. I wouldn't just deliberately hurt people. I wouldn't do that. I was holding a revival meeting, and this building was absolutely filled with people. I mean, on Sunday morning, filled with people. I didn't know who was there. I preached that morning, and three people, parentheses, said they got saved. Well, we all had a good time. So my wife and I went to the vestibule, just like we always do, standing back out there. I got my Bible in my hand, I got my coat over, and so everybody's coming out, we're shaking hands, everybody, and God is my witness. We're talking about how that people ought to live a separated life. Different life. Not to be saved, but because you are saved. This young girl, God is my witness, my wife poked me in the ribs. This young girl had a pair of cut-off Levi's, the most ungodliest clothes I ever seen in my life. Boy, watch it. It'll get real quiet in here now. I'm talking about up here. My wife done this. All right, let's talk a minute. Did she not know where she was coming? Did she not know where she's coming? The audacity of people. I can remember when lost people had respect for the house of God. I'm talking about, honestly, for God, I told my wife, I have never, honestly, it embarrassed me. And I thought, our day and time, you can't make unsaved people live like saved people. Say amen. Now, if that girl really gets a good dose of salvation, she'll put clothes on. Amen. But my point in telling you this is, as saved people, the lessons we can learn is about holiness. Without holiness, no man shall see God. That don't mean you're any better than anybody else. Lord, help us. I told them the other night over at that meeting, I said, it's only by the grace of God we're not drunks. But everybody forgets that. It's only by the grace of God that, hey, say amen. I'm saying the lessons we can learn that God told Moses. He said, Moses, pull your shoes off. You're on holy ground. Now the fourth thing I want you to look about, write it down for me. Notice the looking, if you will. He looked and a bush is on fire. Physically we're burned up. Mentally we're burned up. Spiritually we are burned up inside. See, I believe this. I believe Sunday ought to be a pleasant day. You guys ought to ride from Somerset down here with them three. You get that. But I believe this, Miss Kathy. If we would learn that Sunday, I'm going to ride back. I ain't got the keys. But I'm going to get back somehow or another. Leave me for a moment. My wife will come and get me. Yeah, watch it. UPS me, probably. FedEx me. Have y'all ever thought about it? Have you ever thought about how important Sunday is? Have y'all ever thought about how important the Lord's Day is? Have you ever just thought about it? And see, it's like we're on the wrong side of the road and we're on the opposite side and we've taken and run every stop sign that God put up. Sunday ought to be a day of rest. Whew, Lord help us. It ought not be a day going to Walmarts and wherever people go. And it ought to be a time when they get along with their family. See, I'm different than you are. When I was a boy, when we growed up, everybody ate at the same table. They didn't go to the room. Watch their television. And when I was a boy, you washed your hands, combed your hair, washed your face, and you sat down and you listened to what they were talking about. But now, we don't have time to do that no more. Say amen. Moses turned aside. I believe the Lord's Day is important. Amen. I don't know how y'all feel, but I believe with all my heart you ought to rest your body. I believe you ought to replenish yourself on the Lord's Day. Amen. I don't believe you ought to come into the house of God. I stayed up all night Saturday night watching UK. Oh, did I say that? No, I'm not. Did y'all know this, brother? I know who you are, Noble. Lord knows who you are, too. I don't mean this to be mean or facetiously. My grandson, do you ever notice that people are usually interested, our kids and grandkids are interested in what we're interested in? Have you ever noticed that? Usually it's general. Now, Dylan is a good basketball player, and Dylan's going through a difficult time, and I wish you'd pray for my grandson. He's only 14. And the other day I thought, you know, I got ashamed of myself. So I went in and sat down beside my grandson and just sat there with him, just sat down on the couch with him. And so he got to telling me about UK and telling me about who was playing and who the center was and all this stuff. And I don't have any problem with that. Our problem is we go overboard. Say amen. We either go far left, far right. We don't know anything about keeping it in the middle of the road, especially when it comes to sports. So I didn't know this. I did not know that people pay great deals of money to go to Rupp Arena and sit in what they call an eruption zone. I didn't know that. She's telling me her eyes is all bloodshot. And I said, what is wrong? I thought she'd been sick. She said, Kentucky was playing last night. And she said, we're sitting in the eruption zone. I said, you're sitting where? She said, the eruption zone. I said, what is that? I'm naive. Did you know that, Brother New Zealand? Don't you tell me you knew that. You knew Kentucky's got an eruption zone? Do you want to know what it is? Huh?
I'm not really too bothered.
Huh? You're not too bothered. Okay, that's a good thing. I like you, buddy. Woo-hoo! I'm not too bothered either. But an eruption zone is where right behind the goal, they pay all this X amount of money, especially when they hit them three-pointers and they're behind, just go crazy, amen. Sorry I woke y'all up, guys. But that they erupt. Well, it just come out of me like this. It just slipped out of me. Her eyes bloodshot. I said, I have yet to see you ever erupt here. We're still friends. But honestly, I mean, she told me, pay thousands of dollars, drove all the way to Atlanta, Georgia. The UK fans. Okay, all right, listen to me. The Lord Jesus ought to be more important to you than a basketball game. You ought not come into your class teaching with bloodshot eyes. Amen. Look like you've been on a three-day drunk. Amen. My wife went and had what's called her left eye. She had a wrinkled retina. I've never heard of this in my life. A wrinkled retina. And she said when she looked at things, sometimes there'd be a wave in it. And so I took her to, don't get tickled. So I took her up to Lexington, up to the hospital, to St. Joe's. And they put two little eyes, they did it laparoscopically or whatever you call it, put two little holes in her eyes and they took the wrinkle out and then they took the floaters out and they put a patch on her eyes. She said, now I can only see half of him. Hallelujah. But she's doing good. But don't you listen to this. We got home and her eye turned blood red. I never seen nothing that, her eye turned so red in my life. I mean, red. And she's got the prettiest blue eyes. And here her eyes just, do you see it, Brother Junior? Her eye is blood red, about that red over there. Her whole white and her eye is red. Here she's got that blue eye. I said, if you ain't a sight, why are you trying to tell me that, Brother Sisson? I'm just saying, sometimes we look like we've been on, she told Dr. Dixon, she said, I know I look like I've only been on a two-day drunk. And I said, how do you know what a two-day drunk looks like, Mary Frances? She told the doctor that. Y'all ever seen a person been on a three-day drunk? Some of y'all won't even nod your head. Pitiful. They look pretty bad. They come dragging in on Sunday morning. They got no zeal, no enthusiasm, no excitement about them. But you let them get to where the eruption zone is at. Look out now. They come alive, don't they? They come alive, scream and holler. I'm saying the lessons we can learn are numerous. Now watch this. Are y'all ready? Turn with me right quick to the book of Deuteronomy early. I want you to watch this. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 33. I'm saying tonight with all that's within me, when Moses saw this bush burning with fire, I want you to watch this. Have y'all ever had an episode in your life that you've never forgotten? Would you raise your hand? In your Christian life experience, how many of y'all have ever had a service that you've never forgotten or an episode in your life? Would you raise your hand? Now watch this. Ready? Look in Deuteronomy 33, verse 1, just for a moment. This is the blessing wherewith Moses, the man of God, blessed the children of Israel before his death. So if I read that correctly, this man by the name of Moses is dying. Am I right? Am I right? Now watch this. Look, if you don't mind, in verses 15. Ready? And for the chief things of the ancient mountains, and for the precious things, in verse 15, of the lasting hills, verse 16, and for the precious things of the earth and the fullness thereof, for the goodwill of him that dwelled in the bush. Maybe y'all see that. That dwell in the bush. He had never forgotten that experience in Exodus chapter 3. What do you think about that? What do you think about that? He had never, ever forgot about that bush. Look in your Bible. And for the goodwill of him that dwelt in the bush. He had never forgot that episode in his life. There's a day in my life that God reached down and saved me and forgave me of everything I ever done. How could I ever forget that? How could I ever forget the peace and joy that come over my heart? Amen. That God forgave me? Yes. We've been in some of the best services in the world together. A lot of y'all, a lot of we've been together. Brother Lawrence, Miss Sharon, Brother Jay, Miss Betty. A lot of us, Brother Noble, Miss Kathy, we've been in services together. Amen. And I'm saying there's things that I won't never forget. There's services that we had in that old building up there I will never forget. Amen. Woo! Just sort of looking forward to some more of them. But I'll guarantee you, if you had a child, think how you'd handle this. Tell me how y'all would handle this. Three teenage girls just graduated from high school. They had their 18, one of them had just turned 18, the two is already 18, and they were in an SUV texting and killed all three of them. This just happened recently. How about three in Frankfort, Kentucky? They said they had speeds of over 140 miles an hour. And their blood levels were 0.2. All three of them. And it killed all three of them. I'll guarantee you when that mother files past that coffin, that'll be an episode she'll never forget. I wished I could do this tonight. I wished I could say it in such a manner. I wish we'd just say, Lord, help me to turn aside like Moses did there. Help me, Lord, to study. Help me to pray more. Help me to witness more. Help me, Lord, just to turn aside. But I'm fearful. We're going to go back to chapter 32 just a moment. It says he was content for the backside of the desert. You know what I'd like to do? Let's stand real quiet with our heads bowed, please. Brother Sisson, everything depends upon that fire. Brother Bradley, you come if you would. When that fire got inside that bush, it changed that bush. Boy, we ought to hunger for God to breathe upon us. And we ought to covet it. We ought to say, God, please, give me, Lord, that fire that Moses had burning down inside him. How about Peter on the day of Pentecost? With our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Would you listen to me just for a moment? Then we're going to sing. How many of you can say, Brother Sisson, absolutely, there's a time in my life that I know God forgave me and wrote my name down the Lamb's Book of Life. Would you slip your hand up real high? Isn't that wonderful to be able to do that? To know that your name is wrote down the Lamb's Book of Life. And know you're forgiven. Surely you ought to be thankful. You ought to get your family. I'll guarantee you're just like me. Probably some of you have got family members sitting right beside you that's not even saved. We need to turn aside and pray more, fellowship more, study, read, give thanks more. I'm going to ask you, if you're here tonight and you don't know the Lord, please come. Please. Let Brother Lawrence, myself, somebody help you. Brother Bob, these men will pray with you. We'll help you if you'll come. Brother Bradley.